Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome back, folks, to another episode. I myself have just returned from a short excursion to the Brago Triangle. Mostly for leisure, but I did do a little UFO hunting before bed. Now, per usual, I saw all sorts of weird things in the sky that I couldn't quite explain, but nothing that I would call alien technology. Now, if you haven't yet watched our film on that location, Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle, visit BorregoTriangle.com to learn where you can view the film. And I've heard your cries from overseas. Finding distribution over there has proven to be a little more difficult than it was here in the States. But please give me another month and I'll have something worked out for you. I apologize it's taken this long. But never mind all that now, because I'm back here in the studio with an episode loaded with all sorts of true tales of the terrifying, unsettling, and the bizarre. In other words, I have one hell of a program put together for you tonight. So I'll stop yakking and get us started with our first entry of the evening. Joining us from parts unknown, please welcome Maggie to the show.
Hi, my name is Maggie, and I'm from Nebraska, but I don't live there anymore. I grew up there. I'm kind of a skeptic about a lot of the paranormal type things that I hear, but I do have two experiences, one from when I was a teenager and one that just happened this past summer that I'm not quite ready to talk about because I haven't really processed it yet. But I was calling to share what happened to me as a teenager, and I haven't even told my husband about this, and I haven't talked to my family about it in about 20 years because everyone just wrote it off. But I used to play competitive sports, and we would travel out of state often for tournaments. We were in Milwaukee for this tournament, and we were staying in one of those hotels where the rooms are on the outside, and all my team was there, and we were teenagers. We were probably 15, 16. So, you know, we were just running all over the place, knocking on our friends' doors. Anyway, I had been in my friend's room, and I needed to go back to my room to get something. And I got to my room, and I realized I didn't have my key. Also, it was dark out, but there were lights outside of each room, so I wasn't, like, in the dark, but it was dark out. Anyway, I was knocking on the door because I'd forgotten my key, and I think my mom was in there, but she was using the bathroom, so she didn't come right away. So I kept knocking, and I was going to just go back to my friend's room. And as I was standing there, these two men I saw approaching me out of the corner of my eye, and they were just like businessmen. They were middle-aged, so probably my age now. They were probably 40 or so, and a little bit heavy. I remember them being not super big, but just a little heavy, wearing, you know, business-type clothes, collared shirts. And they were not identical, but they were just roughly the same age. And as I turned and I looked at them, I'm not kidding you, their faces were green. Literally everything about them was normal, except they just stared straight ahead. They didn't acknowledge my existence at all, which I thought was kind of weird too, aside from the fact that their faces were green. Not like hunter green, but just with a very, very, very obvious green tint. And I started banging on the door. They walked past me and didn't say anything, didn't do anything. They weren't talking to each other. They didn't talk to me. They weren't walking beside each other. One was in front of the other. And they rounded the corner around the other side of the motel we were staying in. And my mom finally opened the door. And I went in and I told her what I saw. And I was really upset, couldn't really understand what I saw. And, you know, she laughed. And I told my friends later on, and they laughed too. And then I just never talked about it again, because the girl that saw the guys with green faces is a weirdo. And I didn't want to be a weirdo. So that's my story. And that's all I have for you. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you, Maggie. Now, trust me, there ain't nothing wrong with being a weirdo. Here, you're in good company. As Hunter S. Thompson used to say, or maybe just once said, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Words that I continuously live by. Now, green-faced men, what would possibly cause such a deformity? Outside of a sushi buffet at a roadside gas station in Nebraska. Well, believe it or not, there are quite a number of possibilities here. Some medical, disorders like human chlorosis, copper-induced tinting, either through ingestion or contact, various drug side effects, liver disease, and a whole host of other triggers, none of which are paranormal in nature. But that's not to say that a paranormal link doesn't exist. Let's look at these claims historically. Something strange happened sometime between 1135 and 1189 that sent locals into hysterics, at least at first. They called them the Green Children of Woolpit.
One year, during the harvest in the village of Woolpit in Suffolk, England, about 10 miles from Bury St. Edmunds, reapers working near old wolf pits discovered two young children, a girl and a boy. What made these children a peculiarity was that they wore strange clothes, they spoke an unfamiliar language, and most oddly of all, they had green-tinged skin. The children were eventually taken to the local bigwig, Sir Richard de Calne, who was equally baffled by them, though he took them into his household. Attempts were made to feed them for apparently a couple of days, but none were successful until bean plants were introduced, which seemed to be a familiar food to the children and something they readily ate. However, the boy eventually became sick, and he died. His older sister had no such problem and even lost the green tinge to her skin as her diet became more diverse and time went on. She eventually learned English, she was baptized, and at some point she took the name of Agnes Barr, allegedly having married a diplomat, Richard Barr.
Now, that clip property of today, I found out. And per usual, there is more in-depth info on the subject later on in the video. Hit up the show notes to take a look for yourself. But essentially, that is the story of the Green Children of Woolpit. But what were these emerald-colored children? Once Agnes Barr learned English, she was able to articulate where it was that she came from, and she claimed that they were from a place with a quote-unquote degree of light, like what is after sunset. She and her brother were tending to her father's cows when they were drawn into a cavern by the sound of bells. When they made their way through an opening, they were shocked to find themselves in this strange and brightly illuminated world. Now, it's a pretty wild story, but I doubt it has much to do with Maggie's experience. But when else would I have an opportunity to bring up the green children of Woolpit? Oh, and Woolpit was once Wolfpit, and it's exactly what it sounds like. A pit in the ground dug to catch wolves. Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten all about? You might be shocked by the number of subscriptions you're paying for that you're not even using. Thankfully, Rocket Money helped me stop wasting money on the ones I no longer need. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills. Budgeting has never been my strong suit, but the Rocket Money app makes keeping track of what I spend so easy. It flags frequent spend items, sneaky service fees, and other things I probably would have missed otherwise. The app shows you all of your subscription services laid out in one place, which makes them so much easier to keep track of. Rocket Money even helped me cancel a subscription in just a few taps. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money goes to work on your behalf. It's a pretty nice feature. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/monsters among us. That's rocketmoney.com/monsters among us. rocketmoney.com/monsters among us. As always, supporting our sponsors supports the show. So thank you for listening. Now back to the stuff that goes bump in the night. Now, from green men to a blue lady, Jackie in Oklahoma. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Derek. My name is Jackie. I'm from Oklahoma, and I had recently been just talking about places I'd lived and things I've seen with my kiddos who are teenagers, and I remembered a story that I just thought was kind of cool and wanted to share. So I lived in an apartment at this point in time. It was only me and my kiddo that lived there. She at the time was not there. She was with her dad, but I was home alone with my dog, who was a big old boxer. And the way that my apartment was laid out is you would walk into the front door and you could turn right and go into the kitchen, which was walled off from the dining and living room area. But the kitchen, where it was walled off, there was a hole and you could look into the dining room and the living room through it. It was a big, giant, long hole, so to speak, or cut out. It was almost like a big, giant window. But I could see the entire living room from my kitchen. And then when you went out of the kitchen, there was the dining room area, and which was pretty big, and then a really big living room area. And then right on the back wall of the living room was just windows and sliding glass doors to go out onto the patio. I lived on the first floor, or on the ground level of my apartment, and I was in my kitchen, and all the bedrooms are like to the very far right side of the house. So there's like a whole other side of the house that you could get through. Anyway, I was in my kitchen. I think I was washing dishes or doing something, but I was at the sink and I was looking down and my dog is in the living area on the couch and we had like a L-shaped sectional that she was sitting on. And I'm looking down, I'm washing my dishes, and directly in front of me in the very far right-hand corner of my house or my living room was my entertainment center and my TV and everything. So I was washing and something catches my eye. It's not the corner of my eye, it's like in front of me, but I just see something, a motion. And at the same time that I notice it, I notice that my dog, her name is Chansey, her little head popped up. So I look over and just in time to see what looks like a chest and a head coming out of my television. And then it just kept forming and it was a woman. with a blue dress and a bun on her hair. And this happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so I don't know what would have happened, but maybe old time. I honestly couldn't tell you. She wasn't see-through or anything like that, like you expect to see on a specter or anything, but she was colored wrong. Like if you were to, I'm a photographer, so this is just what I liken it to, but let's say I wanted to take a person and cut them out of a photo and then put them into another photo of a different situation, the color doesn't match. You've got to match it manually. So that's kind of what it looked like. She just looked out of place. She walked a diagonal line all the way through my living dining area, and she walked right past me. She didn't go through the walls to walk past me, but she walked past me in the hallway part that passes the entrance to my kitchen. And the whole time, Chansey, my doggie, had gotten up and was like greeting her. She was wagging and following her, and she followed her all the way to, basically she walked out my front door, but she didn't go through the front door. She went through like where my child's room would have been, but there was no door, just wall. So she just went through a wall right by me. And that was it. The whole encounter lasted probably a total of 2 minutes. She wasn't moving quickly. And I was just so shocked. And I kept staring because I just couldn't believe what I was watching. And then my dog was doing it. So then my dog went, you know, sniffed the door and everything. And then she ran down the hallway where the bedrooms were and then came back. And so my dog was like very confused. It was looking for this person because they didn't acknowledge or pet her. But yeah, that was my encounter. And I just kind of call it my Lady in Blue encounter. I have no idea. The only thing I could think of is maybe, I don't know if Tulsa was in the path of like long time ago when people were doing like Oregon Trail or anything like that. But yeah, it was strange. It was very out of place, but I didn't feel danger or anything. It was just one of those things where, to be honest, I probably would have decided I've lost my mind if my dog wasn't there. So as everybody says, I love the podcast, obviously. I'm a Patreon supporter. I have been for about a year and I love it. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Jackie, for calling in. Now, how many of you have seen the film The Ring? Because I definitely get Samara Morgan vibes from this story. In the film, the villain crawls out of a tube-type television and right into their living room. I'll let you guess what happens after that. Now, there were a few interesting details to Jackie's chronicle. For starters, the off-color. I've heard of a ghost or spirit being described as looking quote-unquote off in past reports. But I guess I never really knew what that meant. So this is the first time I can recall that that description was described as a different color or possibly hue. Like I said, it's interesting. And she also mentioned that the sighting continued for nearly 2 minutes. Now that is a long time in regards to a ghost sighting. Most seemed only last for mere seconds, if not milliseconds. I almost wonder if she meant to say 2 seconds instead of 2 minutes. But if she didn't, then once again, interesting. And finally, Jackie wondered where this former spirit might have come from, as she was unaware of why it would be there. Well, I poked around the internet a bit, and I was able to deduce that white settlers first encroached upon the territory in the mid-1800s. Cavalry and frontiersmen at first, but by the 1880s, white settlers had established settlements in many parts of what was then known as Indian Territory. And that includes the town of Tulsa. And based on the description of the girl Jackie gave, that entity could have easily been plucked from that timeline and subsequently dropped into Jackie's. It's just some food for thought and a little background on a remarkable story. It's not every day we hear about a blue lady crawling out of a television. Thank you again, Jackie, for taking the time to share. Oh, and just an interesting tidbit of information. Legendary author of Rip Van Winkle and the Legend of Sleepy Hollow himself, Washington Irving, once traveled to the territory of Oklahoma with a group of U.S. Rangers, all the way back in 1832. Now, I don't know why, but it seems weird to think that Washington Irving could have spent time in that region that long ago. It's like two worlds colliding or something. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to share, simply call the hotline at 1-888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or record a story on your phone and shoot the file over to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Oh, and by the way, if you're sitting on any monster stories, please be sure to call those in. I'm not at all worried that we'll run out of monster stories, but it certainly wouldn't hurt to have a few more. Now, if you will, let me squeeze in one more before we break for the advertisers. Carlos from Louisiana. Please go ahead and share your experience.
Hey, Derek. This is Carlos from New Orleans, Louisiana. Well, this is my story. I was doing yard work outside the other day, and I was listening to one of your episodes, and I think it was season 16, episode 11, and a young lady told a story. She was staying at a hotel, and she had a knock on the door, and she saw a jester, or something that looked like a jester. It brought chills to me. It reminded me of something that happened a long time ago, probably when I was 11 years old. This was back in the 90s. I don't remember the day or the exact time. I know it was late at night. I remember waking up, I heard knocking. I started walking to our kitchen, and there was a continuous knock. And before we did the addition to our house, my family's house, when you walked through the kitchen, there was a door, and that door led to the backyard. And that door had a window. And I remember climbing up and looking through the window. And when I looked through the window, there's a jester. Like, it looks like a jester. The guy, the whatever it was, had the face paint, and it had the hat, it had the full outfit. And I just stared at it, and it just stared back. And, you know, of course, as a kid, you know, you get scared. I just remember running away, running into our bathroom, and I just sat there. I don't know how long I sat there for, and then I just remember waking up in my bed. I don't remember how I got there, but again, this was a long time ago. It was in the 90s. I just remember waking up. So I've always thought it was a dream, nothing more. But after hearing her story, you know, it does make me think and wonder, maybe it was something that really did happen. So that's my story. Again, I appreciate what you do and all the callers. Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos. Now, Carlos is referring to a call from an anonymous caller in New Mexico that originally aired on the Season 15, Episode 14 Beyond portion, then later on the Best of 2023 special, which is, as Carlos said, Season 16, Episode 11. I hope you got all that. And because that call is rather lengthy, I can't share it in full here with you tonight. But I did pull the description part of the story out so you can easily compare and contrast.
My impression that I got was that it was not fully human. It was human size, but it just had a totally different representation. About the height, I'm guessing, of like an average male, maybe a little bit taller, about closer to 6 feet, wearing all white and purple, like run-of-the-mill jester-y type clothing, face paint, super dirty and disheveled, the hat with the three or four long points on it, and yeah, just really, really dirty. Like the white part of the getup was just really disheveled and dirty.
Well, if those two descriptions don't align, I don't know what does. Head on over to either of those episodes to hear the full report. Now, I don't have any answers for you, Carlos, but I've certainly taken note of the similarities, and I'll keep my eyes open going forward. So thank you again, Carlos, and thank you to our mystery caller out of the state of New Mexico.
And
hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It is about these very few.
Now, if you would, please join me in welcoming Destiny from Texas.
Hi, Derek. My name is Destiny. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. This happened today on August 16, 2023. This morning around 6:20 a.m. on the outskirts of a busy highway around my house, I was driving to go pick up my friend while my husband stayed back at home to get the kids ready for school. I was down a long street by my house with a couple of lights. Where we live, I'm driving on a two-way lane road, and as I'm driving, another car is coming towards me, and I see this big white thing about 6 feet tall with no face on my side of the road. And it turned towards my car, and then it turned back forward, and it bent down and got on all fours and starts to crawl down the street to cross to the other side. And I don't know what this thing was. It didn't look like it was supposed to be crawling on all fours. I blinked a couple of times, and I thought, and I said it out loud, what was I seeing right now? Because I didn't know what that was. And I waited a couple of seconds because the other car was closer to the white thing than I was. And it braked for a second, and I stayed staring to see if anything had passed by, because the white figure had stopped where the broken yellow lines are in the middle of the road. And I see the car stop for a second, and nothing passed in front of it. There was no shadow. While the car was braked really quick, it just disappeared, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I didn't know what I just saw. I called my husband right away because I was only 4 minutes away from our house when I saw where this happened, and I don't know what it was. If you have any ideas, I'd love to hear it. And thanks for playing my story. I love Monsters Among Us, and it's crazy to think now I'm calling with one of my stories.
Thank you, Destiny. You see, it can happen to you. And it sounds like what Destiny saw was one of these infamous pale crawlers. Tall, slender, pale-colored humanoids that lurk in the dark shadows of the Midwest, Appalachia, Florida, and I suppose now Texas. Now, we've featured probably a dozen calls about this seldom-discussed cryptid over the years. But let me tell you, frequency doesn't make these calls any less unsettling. Because at best, Destiny was mistaken about what she saw. At worst, well, we'll just leave that up to your own imagination. You can decide for yourself just how gnarly these things are. But we thank you, Destiny, for adding yet another data point to our ongoing research. Trust me when I say you made the right call. Now, folks, don't forget to hit up our merchandise shop, monstersamonguspodcast.com, then click the shop tab. Also, don't forget, we're phasing out a few designs, which means they're on sale. So go have a look and help us make room for these incoming designs. Now, let's mosey on over to the state of Arizona, where Robin is waiting with her entry.
Hi, Derek. My name is Robin, and I am in Phoenix, Arizona. I was calling with what I call probably my weirdest story, and it happens when I was about 4 years old. I wake up from a nap. However, while I was sleeping, I had what seemed like a dream.
And it was like flashes of memories is the way that I can describe it. It was just flashes of scenes. And I wake up from this nap and I don't know who I am and I don't know where I am. But this group of beings appear before me. They were in shadow, I guess. People would probably call them shadow people. All I could really make out was the silhouette of their shoulders and their heads. Everything from the bottom was dark, but it was a group of them. And they appeared before me, and somebody tells me my name, and they tell me where I'm at. And I'm not scared. I feel comfortable with them. I feel comfortable with the information they're giving me. And I get out of bed, and I go to my door. I open my door, and I see a little girl out in the living room. And I ask who that is, and they tell me that that's my sister. They tell me her name, and I go up to her, and I ask her if she woke up that morning not remembering who she was. And she just scrunched up her face at me and said, "You're weird." And she ran off. And the group of beings told me not to say anything because no one was ready to hear it yet. That's how they worded it, in a sense. And so I said, okay. And I ran off, and I was just a 4-year-old girl. So that memory has always kind of defined me as a person. When I was about 12 years old, I heard of walking spirits, and I thought that must be what I am. I must be a walking spirit. I came into this body at 4 years old. I'm not sure. I listened to your podcast. I've been listening for a few months, and I've heard a few stories on people around the same age who have some crazy stories. I heard that one from the guy in Idaho who flew off his balcony at about 4 years old. But I don't know. Maybe there's just something about that age, and the veil is still down between us and the other realm. I'm not sure. But it makes me feel better that there are people with stories around the same age that, like, crazy stuff like that happened to them. So maybe I'm not so much looking for somebody who has my exact story, but more comforted in maybe we just don't fully understand our reality yet. I'm not sure. But I would love to get your input on it and your thoughts on it, if you've heard anything like it or what you think. All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Robin. Now, Robin dropped a paranormal term I don't know much about. Walk-ins. Now, I knew of the general concept, but nothing really beyond that. So I asked our researcher, Delaney, to put together a quick elevator pitch on the subject. And this is what she dug up. The idea of a walk-in is a fairly new age concept. But the gist is that some people believe it's possible for the soul of a human to leave a person's body and for another soul to, quote-unquote, walk in and take its place. According to Ruth Montgomery, the originator of the theory, this can occur during periods of trauma or when individuals make an agreement with the soul to depart when the soul's work has been finished. The walk-in retains the memories of the original personality, but does not have the emotions associated with the memories. From there, the walk-in soul begins its work to achieve mental, spiritual, and emotional fulfillment. And that's why we pay her the big bucks. Thank you, Delaney. So essentially, this is sort of like possession, except that both parties seem to be cool with it and gain from it mutually. And if you'd like to learn more, I've linked to a video that goes into more detail than you ever could have imagined it could, over there in the show notes. Now, as for the walk-in theory, you wouldn't be the first to suggest it, nor suspect it, Robin. Keep digging and let us know what you figure out. And thank you again for the phone call.
Ranking. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, coincidentally, we find our way back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where our next caller just happens to be from. Shannon, welcome to the program.
Hi, Derek. This is Shannon from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Love your podcast, and I have a story that I think may be perfect for it. My father passed away in September of 2018. And when he was alive, he worked on electronics, computers, that sort of thing. So that was in his wheelhouse, anything electronic. So the morning after he died, my mom called me frantically because the TV wouldn't work, and she really needed it at this time. I go over there. It's just showing some weird error. It's not an old TV. The tech support couldn't figure out what was wrong. So I immediately went and got her another television set. Next thing that happened is I went outside to start the old truck that he had out there. I wanted to keep them vehicles moved so that they didn't deteriorate. Battery was dead in the truck. Go over to the car, which he had just been driving a couple of days before he had passed. So it hadn't even been sitting there a week. Go to start it. The battery is dead. Okay, that's weird. Also, there were these batteries that were in a panel for the security system. They were fresh batteries. They just completely drained. Well, about 3-4 days after he passed, this has all happened already. My mom's asleep in bed with their dog, and all of a sudden she hears a bang. And she goes over, she runs to the light, turns it on, and my dad's picture, which had been sitting in the middle of the chest of drawers across from her bed, had flown off, and it had landed face down on the floor without breaking the glass. And keep in mind, it wasn't just like right on the edge of the dresser. It was sitting in the middle of it. So even if like a small earthquake had happened or something had shifted it, it would have fallen over face first onto the chest. But instead, it was actually a couple of feet away from the dresser and face down. So my theory is that he drained electricity from the batteries and probably tried to use the television set as well to get a message to my mom. And he was successful in doing so, letting her know that he was still there and he was okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Shannon, for calling in. Now, although that story might be just a bit spooky, I can't help but think it's much more touching. Shannon, I imagine your father must have been a very strong-willed man. It sounds like he was absolutely determined to get his message across. And you know, having lost a good number of people lately myself, this story brings a little bit of comfort and maybe hope. Because typically, at least in my experience, gone is gone. Thank you again, Shannon, for sharing your call. Well, deceased loved ones may not always be trying to send a sign, but if Tony's experience tells us anything, it's that they still might always be around.
Hi, my name is Tony, and I'm from Chicago, but I am originally from the Southwest. And this isn't so much a monster story as it's my guardian angel. This had to be around, God, I was in college at Arizona State. I'm thinking it was probably August, I want to say. August, September, in Scottsdale, Arizona. I used to have a 4x4 4Runner. And I was going to pick up a bunch of girlfriends because I had the largest car. And we were going to a new nightclub opening. You know, typical things that you do when you're in college. Anyway, now prior to this, I had lost my sister in 1992. It was her choice to leave. And unfortunately, I lost my best friend. So with that in mind, I bring you to the story. Driving along Scottsdale Road, it was a completely beautiful day, and it was starting to cascade into the evening hours, and our goal was to get to the nightclub prior to everybody else getting there, so like around 7, just so we could see our friends, get to know the owners, so on and so forth, you know, seen and be seen. So as I am driving with one of my girlfriends, we are on Scottsdale Road, and we are going towards Camelback. And as I'm driving, this nightmare driver shoots out of one of the many hotels and doesn't bother to stop, doesn't bother to yield, just shoots out, and he's coming right at me. And as I turn, like to avoid him, just natural reflexes, my forerunner starts to go off onto the side of the road, and then it kind of like catches gravel, and we dip and we flip to the side. And as we flip to the side, I guess my seatbelt wasn't clipped in all the way. And this is, you know, a 1990 forerunner, so it didn't have all the bells and whistles. I was very most thankful that my CD player would work once in a blue moon. So as it's a used car, the seatbelt didn't give off a ring. So as I see the car going, I see everything happening. It was like in slow motion. And I just felt like the car go to the side. I heard my girlfriend screaming. And I suddenly feel my body just moving into the passenger. And all I can see is my head going straight for the open window, which would literally smash my head open, kind of like a grape, just smash it between the car and the road. And as I see this, I'm like, in my head, like, it was so weird. It was so slow motion. I feel something on my left arm pulling, and as I kind of turn, what I don't realize is happening is I see my sister grabbing my arm and pulling me to keep me from getting smashed. And somehow, some way, my hand got reattached to the steering wheel, and we came to a complete stop after we skid a while. My other girlfriend, she didn't have her seatbelt on. She should have been smashed too. She was fine. The only thing I could recollect is like, she either grabbed onto me. We still don't even know. She couldn't figure it out. But as we went to a stop, I kicked the windshield out eventually. And like, I never would have thought of that. It was just like, kick the windshield out. We got out of the car. The cops are starting to arrive. People are running towards us. The guy is like drunk apparently. And he's just like, I didn't even focus on him because my arm was killing me. And as I look down on my arm, I see a bruise forming, and it's not my hand, it's a hand, and I know for a fact that it was my sister because I saw her. My sister, like her, she had a very signature scent, and it was entirely all throughout the car, all throughout my clothing, all throughout my girlfriend's clothing. It was crazy. Eventually, everything came to a head, yada, yada, yada. They were taken care of. After that, moving a little ways forward, I would put my keys in a bowl by my door just so I knew, because I was a little bit of a scatterbrain. So I created a habit. And to this day, to this very day, it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen that my keys will go into a specific area, a bowl, a hook, it doesn't matter. Now I have a hook, they'll be gone. And I have to literally say my sister's name and tell her to put my keys back. And I'll walk away, I'll go do what I want, and my keys will reappear exactly where it is. And this has happened from time to time. My ex-fiance used to freak out about it. And he noticed when these things would happen. He's like, when did you change your perfume? and I could just smell my sister. Now that my parents have both passed, now I smell all three of them. It's kind of strange, but it's kind of comforting knowing that they're still with me. Ah, sorry. Got a little emotional. I just want to say thank you for listening, and thank you for all that you do. I just discovered you, and I am binge listening to every episode. I will become a member of Patreon very soon. Thank you again, and I hope you have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Tony. What an incredible story. A touching one as well. As I said earlier, I've lost a good number of people over the past decade, and it's comforting to think that there might still be some undetectable connection to those that we lost. A connection that, on special occasion, can break boundaries when times are dire. Or at least, that's what Tony's experience would lead us to believe. And I'd say luckily for Tony that it worked out that way. Otherwise, it sounds like things could have really ended badly for her and her friend. And we're so happy that it didn't go that way. Thank you again, Tony, for sharing that heart-wrenching story.
That doesn't know how to...
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Now that brings us to tonight's closer. Reaching out to us from the Midden State, please welcome Dave to tonight's program.
Hey, Derek. This is Dave from Michigan. I have a story from back, I'm 57 now, and this was back when I was maybe six, but I remember it really good. My dad owned this house, and we had this little house next door to us, and he bought both of them. And my uncle came home from Vietnam, so this is about 72, maybe 73, somewhere in there. And my dad let him stay there for rent-free, you know? And he wasn't there long, but the thing was, my brother, my older brother Jim, told me one day that there was a monster in that house, that little house next to us. I'd say it's about 75 to 100 feet away from our bedroom window, you know? And my mom and dad just laughed it off, and, oh, there is not. And one night, my brother got me up and says, hey, come here and look. I'll show you the monster. And we went and looked out the bedroom window, and sure enough, I could see from a window over there, the little house that my dad owned, you'd see like a green hazy light coming. All of a sudden, it'd walk right past the window, and a few minutes later, it'd come and go back the other way. You know, it'd just keep going back and forth. It looked like a goblin or something, a little green guy with pointy ears, and he had like a 1800s nightshirt on, you know, like red and white striped shirt for like a nightgown for men, you know, and the nightcap cap with the little tassel that was red and white. But he's holding a candle holder in his hand, fully extended in front of him, you know, and that's, I guess, so you'd see the light coming, and then he'd come past the window. He never turned and looked at us or anything. He just looked forward, you know, but he'd go from left to right, and then a few minutes you'd see the coming back, and he'd go from right to left, and we, you know, that scared us, and we told mom and dad about it. They never did buy it, or if they did stay up, maybe they didn't see it. I don't know, because I never heard anything else about it, but I know my uncle didn't stay there long, and he was a Vietnam vet, you know. He said that he slept with a knife, a big knife under his pillow, and that he would hear the door unlock and open and shut, and that he'd get up and it'd still be locked. But yeah, he didn't hear walking or anything in the house. He just said he could hear the door open and shut when he, you know, and he wasn't asleep. And so he'd get up and look, you know, and nothing there. But we know what we saw, you know, and we told him about it. And he just looked at my mom and dad. But yeah, it was kind of strange. It seemed to be like a green goblin of some type, you know, just weird. But just thought I'd share that story with you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dave. a little green goblin in the window, in a nightshirt and cap, no less. Sounds like something from a Dickens story, or some comic book. Well, let's go ahead and get the obvious out of the way. That state, and more specifically Detroit, is home to a well-known impish creature. That's similar in description, save for one important detail. A detail that can be found right there in the entity's name. They call it the Nain Rouge, or in English, the Red Dwarf.
Among all the impish offspring of the Stone God, wizards, and witches that made Detroit feared by the early settlers, none were more dreaded than the Nain Rouge. This Detroit legend goes back to its founder, Antoine de la Mothe Cadillac. The Red Imp is said to be malevolent if offended, but capable of being appeased by flattery. Cadillac was warned by a sorceress named Mère Minique before he founded Detroit. She warned him to appease and not to offend the Nain Rouge. Cadillac would eventually meet the imp, which he then struck with his cane, offending the Red Dwarf. And as folklore has it, the Demon of the Strait cursed Cadillac and Detroit. This tale lends itself why Detroit has its past marred by tragedy.
The Detroit Devil often appears before disaster strikes and is taken as a warning. Something malicious is going to happen to Detroit.
Now that clip courtesy of MLive on YouTube, and does a pretty good job of laying out the Nain Rouge legend. And you know, maybe it's not just a legend, because it appears as though the city of Detroit has had its string of bad luck. The creature was witnessed in 1763, not 24 hours before the infamous Battle of Bloody Run, where the British were savagely defeated by Chief Pontiac and his warriors. In 1805, the Nain Rouge was spotted once again, moments before a series of fires broke out that nearly burned the entire city of Detroit to the ground. And in 1967, witnesses claimed to have laid eyes on the Red Dwarf before riots broke out that took the lives of 43 people and resulted in the destruction of 1,400 buildings. And I'm guessing the Nain Rouge is seen before each and every sports season that occurs up that way, because most of those seem to end in tragedy as well. But even someone like me can notice that the Nain Rouge isn't a little green goblin. So it seems these stories are likely unrelated. So that sent us digging for more information. And it turns out there have been a few encounters over the years that might be similar enough to Dave's encounter to mention. The giant green squirrel of Amble, Michigan being one. It's exactly like it sounds, a huge cow-sized green squirrel that ransacks trash cans, homes, and businesses at night in that tiny town. Comically terrifying, yes, but again, it doesn't seem to fit Dave's description. Now, outside of that story, we didn't find anything from that state up north. But we did find another report that seems to describe nearly the exact same thing that Dave reported seeing when he was just a child. A report that I found over on Reddit. And it goes as follows. Okay. So I grew up in an old house in the south, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. The house was laid out somewhat circular, as you could walk from the living room through most of the other rooms, just by walking in a complete circle, and end up back where you started. When I was around 5, me and my younger sister were chasing each other in circles while my mom cooked dinner. I was in front of her, and we were laughing and carrying on. When we got into the dining room, in the inside corner, there was a small greenish creature with a dark cloak on. It had pointy ears that stuck out and sharp teeth. Now, I was young, but it was still very small, so I'd say maybe 2 feet. It looked kind of like it had been at the bottom of a pond or something, very old and tattered. It put its finger to its lips and was grinning. I slammed to a stop, and my sister was chasing so close she ran right into me, which pushed us both around the corner into the kitchen. We both started screaming, and my mom ran to see what was the matter, but the thing was gone. This has haunted me for years. I'm 25 now, and although I've done tons of searching, I've never found anything that really fits what we saw. For a long time, I thought maybe I'd imagined it, and if it weren't for my sister also seeing it, or my mom remembering our very real terror, I would have probably just written it off. You know, outside of the location of this experience, the two sound eerily similar, but similar enough that they're both describing the same thing. Well, I'm afraid that's for you to decide. But I can tell you, we thank you, Dave, for sharing this strange, yet fascinating encounter. And I can tell you it's not the first nor the last time we'll hear from these little green goblins. Thanks again, Dave, for calling in. And just like that, folks, we're done here. But don't forget what I told you last week about the hidden secret entry at the end of the program. Now, Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. And please do me a favor and follow us over on social media. While you're at it, give us a like and follow on YouTube as well. And please don't forget to leave us a rate and review wherever possible. And I don't usually call out reviewers, but Mike Breedlove, you've been going above and beyond, buddy. Don't think that I don't notice. So thank you, sir. Don't forget you can catch Monsters Among Us every Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern by visiting the UnX network. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Code at AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Thank you all so much for joining me here this evening. I'll catch you back here next week with the latest effort. Until then, stick around, keep it spooky, and have a good night.
Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Now, tonight's secret entry is an eerie little number from Eliza from Parts Unknown.
Hi, Derek. My name is Eliza. I'm a big fan of the podcast, and I want to call in to tell a quick story of an encounter that I had just a few weeks ago while visiting some family in Jacksonville, Texas. I was staying at an Airbnb that I'd stayed at before. Nothing strange had happened. And for context, my room had a window, which at one point probably led to the outside, but the owner built a sort of porch around it. So my window led to an unlocked porch area, which was then locked off from the rest of the house. And my second to last night at this place, I rolled over in bed around 11 p.m. and I looked out the window and I saw a shape. And I did that thing that you do where you kind of fight between, like, you know, is this just a trick of a light or a shadow? And I knew on some level that there was probably just an object on the other side of this window blocking out the moonlight that I'm just now noticing. But it looked so much like a figure with distinct head, neck, shoulders, and something moving that to my mind looked like a hand raising up and waving. And I just kept thinking, there must be a coat rack on the other side, and I'm just being scared and paranoid. But I knew for a fact that there was something on the other side of that window blocking out the light, and hoped that it wasn't actually moving, that I was just being scared, even though I knew on one level that's what was happening. And the next morning I go into the shed area and there is nothing on the other side of the window, nothing blocking the light, no reason why I would see the shape that I saw, which I didn't see the next night. And I wanted to share that because though I know there's a scary possibility that that was a person who was waiting on the other side of the window, I got the distinct impression that this thing knew I was awake, which, how someone would know that? I know a disturbed person could still wave to someone who's sleeping, but I just got that feeling and I wanted to share it. I know that Jacksonville, Texas has some spooky graveyards and monuments, but I don't know of any ghost stories like that. Yeah, happy to hear your thoughts about it, and thank you so much for all your work on the show. Bye.
Thank you, Eliza. Now, we've all been there. Through the dim light in our bedroom, we swear we see a figure on the other side of the room. A dark silhouette, standing, unwavered, watching you as you lie helpless in your bed. Only to learn the next day that you were staring at a pile of laundry or an ironing board that you forgot you'd placed there the day before. It happens to the best of us. But imagine the terrifying confirmation when that stoic figure slowly begins to wave an inky black hand in your direction. Certainly, the stuff nightmares are made of. A huge thank you, Eliza, for sharing your entry. Be careful in those Airbnbs, folks. I've heard my fair share of horror stories that are strictly that of the human monster variety. Never mind the shadow people. Well, folks, this is where I leave 97% of you, because right now we're going beyond. To access the rest of this episode and the full back catalog of bonus content, simply join the $5 level over at Patreon. Visit patreon.com and search for Monsters Among Us, or go to our website, monstersamonguspodcast.com, and click the Patreon tab. Go ahead and sign up. It's quick, cheap, and easy, and it helps us keep the lights on here in the studio. And don't forget, we also offer a 7-day free trial, if you're somehow on the fence. After all, it's in the beyond that you get to hear tales such as Cam's out of the state of Florida.
Hey, Derek, this is Cam. I currently reside in South Florida, swamp ape land, but my stories happened in my hometown of Columbus, Ohio, and they are doppelganger stories. Now, I didn't see these doppelgangers because these doppelgangers were apparently of me. I was clear back in the mid to late 80s, late 80s, I'd say, because I was not too far from graduating high school. One day I went to school and...
On a summer night, Douglas Wag Jr. lay motionless across a strip of railroad tracks before being struck by an oncoming train. I'm investigative journalist Delia D'Ambra, and my investigation into exactly how Doug died took me into the depths of a bizarre mystery.
It was really hard to understand what was fact and what wasn't.
A mystery that has led me from one suspicious death to another. Listen to Counterclock now, wherever you listen to podcasts.